Good evening, everyone. My name is Sitene Nlea, and welcome to Health Matters. And this is the first week of November, and some commemorations of health that are going to be held in November is World Pneumonia Day, which is on the 12th, World Diabetes Day on the 14th of November, and on the 17th of November, we are going to celebrate those little ones who are now even older, and maybe some are still little, who were born premature, and that is the Prematurity Day on the 17th of November. But today in the studio, I have with me Mr. Wenziwe Nkosi Ndlovu, a community TB care officer in the Ministry of Health and Child Care. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. And let's dive right in, and we'll start off. You recently held a conference on TB. Can you tell us more? What was the conference all about, and what happened during the conference?
Thank you very much. This year, it was our second Zimbabwe National TB Conference. We started last year with the first one last year, and this year from the 29th to the 31st of October, we had our second National TB Conference. It was operating under the theme From Commitment to Action, Innovation, Sustainable Financing, and Person-Centered Care to End TB.
Okay, and loving the theme. Why that theme exactly? Are we making progress as a nation in helping fight TB?
Yes, the country has made some tremendous steps towards fighting TB. So this year's theme was saying we're moving away from just making commitments and then doing action. So commitments have been made over the years, but this time around we're saying let's put action to those commitments that are there.
Okay, and yes, usually as Zimbabwe, we do have good conferences, we talk a lot, we come up with policies. What are the recommendations that really came out of this conference that you hosted?
So stemming from the theme, we were talking of sustaining and scaling up innovations, making sure that services are provided at the point of care, bringing services close to people. We also expanding TB prevention beyond the traditional groups. There are certain groups that have been receiving the being prioritized for preventive services, but we want to move beyond that and look at TB contacts, the minors, people living with diabetes, people living with HIV, ensuring that the preventive services are there. And also to integrate TB services with broader health systems. So this is a way of strengthening linkages with HIV, primary health care, talk of non-communicable diseases program, and also to increase efficiency and sustainability across these health programs.
Okay. And what statistics are we looking at in when looking at TB in Zimbabwe, comparing the 2026 report and currently? And I think maybe if I do a rundown of the report that I had from 2016, rather, this was done by Dr. G. Gwinji, the Secretary for Health and Child Care then. And tuberculosis, which is TB, is a significant public health problem in Zimbabwe with high morbidity and mortality rates. Zimbabwe is one of the 8 countries in Africa that appear in all of the 3 World Health Organization lists of top 30 countries with high absolute numbers and or per capita incidence of TB, TB, HIV, and multi-drug-resistant TB. These countries contribute 80% of the world's burden of TB. The country conducted a TB prevalence survey in 2014, which led to a more accurate estimate of the burden of the disease. The estimated TB incidence rate in 2015 was at 245% cases per 100,000 population per year. In the same year, about 8,000 deaths were attributed to TB alone. And looking at this summary, would you be able to give us where we are right now as a country?
Thank you very much. So Earlier on, you mentioned the Zimbabwe being in the as a triple burden country.
Yes.
WHO produces a list of 30 high burden countries, including all the countries in the world, to say these are the countries which have got a high burden of TB, MDR-TB, and TB and HIV. So for the past years, Zimbabwe was amongst the three lists. We used to call it a triple burden country. And then in 2021, due to efforts that have been done, the Zimbabwe was then removed from the top 30 countries in the world that have got a high burden of TB.
Okay.
But as a country, we still remain in the other two lists, the TB HIV list and then MDR TB list.
Okay.
So some progress has been done, but us being removed from the top 30 countries with the high burden of TB doesn't mean that as a country no longer have a burden of TB. We still have a burden of TB. Our incidence is at 211 per 100,000 as we speak.
Okay.
So we still need to do some work.
And TB is clustered in three, as we have just discussed. There's the TB, the TB HIV, and multi-drug resistant TB. Do you mind explaining maybe to somebody who's out there to understand what each of those means actually?
Okay, thank you. So the initial list, these are people who have got TB, just TB. And then the one that is TB HIV, it's more of TB which comes along with HIV.
Okay.
So that's the co-infection. And then there is drug-resistant TB, the MDR.
Okay.
The type of TB which is resistance to the first line of treatment. So
yes,
they need to be given better medicine, what we call second line, for them to be treated.
Okay. And since there's a differentiation of these TBs, what's the general TB? Who can actually be affected by this?
Everyone can get TB.
Mm-hmm.
It can affect anyone, but there are certain groups that are at a higher risk of contracting TB.
Okay.
We talk of people living with HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the weakened immune system. We also have the miners. In Zimbabwe, we've got the artisanal miners. Due to the work that they do, they are also at a higher risk. We talk of children,
mm-hmm.
those who are under 5 years, even the elderly, those who are above 65 years. So they are also at a higher risk. Then we also talk of the healthcare workers. Healthcare workers are also amongst the high-risk groups.
Okay.
For TB.
All right. Then another fact that I got. In 2015, TB treatment coverage defined as the number of new and relapse cases that were notified and treated, divided by the estimated number of all incident TB cases that occurred in that year, expressed as a percentage, was estimated at 72%, while the treatment success rate, the percentage of all notified TB patients who were successfully treated, was 81%. This performance was said to be below the global benchmark that is targeted for effective TB care and prevention of at least 90%. And now, 2025, where are we as a country?
From that report, you note, if I can speak to the treatment coverage place first, there is an estimated number of people having TB in the country.
Mm-hmm.
WHO assists all the countries in coming up with that. It's a scientific estimation that is done looking at the population, the burden of the disease in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up with an estimated number of people with TB. So for Zimbabwe, last year, the estimated number was 35,000 people with TB. And then as a country, we notified about 20,272.
Actual.
A treatment coverage of of around 56%, meaning that the remaining 44%, these are missed cases. So if you look at the 35,000 that I spoke about, which is estimated, and then the 20,000 that we found, approximately 15,000 TB cases were missed. So meaning that there is still a lot of work that we need to do in order to use all the innovations to find those people out there in the community and ensure that they are studied and treated, they are treated for TB.
And then I remember earlier you were stating that an estimated 56% in 2023 had a successful treatment rate. Is that where we stand right now? And also a 89% successful rate of treatments compared to the 90% that is expected?
Yes. So the 56 that I spoke about earlier on, that's the treatment coverage.
Okay.
Looking at the estimated number of people who have got TB and how many we found and put on treatment.
Okay.
And then in terms of treatment success, our expectation, our desire is that all the people that are found to be having TB, they need to be successfully treated.
Right.
So from the information that is there, the 2023 data, 89% of those who were found to be having TB were successfully treated, which is a point away from the
90%.
That is it. So a lot of progress has been done. It used to be lower than that. I think from the report that you have, the 2016 one,
yes,
we had 81%.
Yes, so there's been a growth of about 8%.
Yeah. So there's been some progress in terms of ensuring that our patients are successfully treated.
Okay. In dealing with the general public, what would you say maybe is the limiting factor for people to actually come and get treatment or come and get tested and all? Is the stigma still that high, or what other factors are causing this for people not to come through for treatments?
Yes, the issue of stigma is there. In 2024, last year, we conducted a national TB stigma assessment in partnership with Jointed Hands Welfare Organization, and it was noted that 40.9% of our patients suffered stigma, and a lot of stigma also happening out there in the community. So stigma is a real issue. And then there are also issues around underserved communities. And Good Enough as a program also coming up with initiatives of ensuring that services are being taken to where communities are. We have what is called targeted screening for active TB, with trucks going there to the groups that are at high risk.
Okay.
Going screen them where they are, the artisanal miners, we go there, they are screened for TB, and we also have a mobile laboratory within those tracks where they can then be undergo laboratory investigation, and they are studied on treatment if they are found to be having TB.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way of trying to address the issue of the hard-to-reach populations and the underserved.
Okay. Speaking of hard-to-reach communities and underserved communities, are you currently running a program that is actually doing the outreaches?
Yes. We are. All the provinces, through the support that we got from the Global Fund, each province has a truck which is equipped with a digital X-ray machine, and at the back there is a mobile laboratory. So each province was given that to conduct its outreach services within their provinces. And then these are expensive vehicles, so we couldn't get for each province. Harare and Blawai are sharing a truck.
Okay.
But all the other provinces, they've got one truck each. And resources are also being mobilized to acquire more trucks to cover that.
Okay, and basically, like, you are doing the outreaches, are people coming out to actually get tested?
Yes, they are. People are coming forward. We work with community structures in terms of mobilizing. We've got the community health workers out there, the community leadership. If we go through them, they are able to assist us in terms of mobilizing communities for these services.
Okay, and maybe like going back to the conference that you actually held, would you care maybe to explain who really attended this conference? Who did it impact more than anything else?
Yeah, so for the conference, it was open for everyone. We had our key stakeholders in the national TB response. We had representatives from the civil society organizations. We had the healthcare workers. We had other government line ministries apart from Ministry of Health, because we are pushing what is called the multi-sectoral accountability framework, which brings all the other line ministries within the government. We've got our development partners that we work with in the space of healthcare provision. We also had the TB survivors. We have got the Zimbabwe National Network of TB Survivors. They came together. They are assisting a lot in terms of provision of TB services. So they were also there. We had researchers. We had students also coming in to be part of this. So it was a very interesting one, including media. Media, academia, with representatives from universities and colleges coming in to attend this conference.
Okay. And I guess this is trying to build synergies between the health sector and academia. And as you're saying, the research and all, are we making progress looking at preventative measures as well on TB? Like, are the colleges really assisting in this fight?
Yes, especially in the front of research. Uh-huh. I think the way we'll be able to end TB is through using innovative ways of tackling. So we had, on our second day, it was the research day. Uh-huh. We had various researchers coming forward presenting, and we had our university is also playing a key role in terms of the research research day. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of progress in that area.
Okay.
So in terms of prevention, we are being provided with the evidence that we need to ensure that the services that we provide are evidence based and they are in line with the international standards.
Okay, and then that also brings me to ask, what were your personal greatest takeaways from this conference?
For me, the initial one was around the discussion on financing for TB. It's an area where we were a bit lagging behind, so the discussions, there was a panel discussion which involved the WHO representatives from the parliament, civil society, putting our heads together to see how as a country we can support the TB services using domestic resources and going forward looking at the drinking support from external donors. So it was a really interesting session. And then the other one was around the work that is being done by our TB survivors.
Okay.
You say the work that they're doing out there with minimal resources, they are mobilizing their own resources and doing health education on TB out there, supporting patients on TB treatment, even mobilizing those who need to be screened and tested for TB. They are doing a lot of work very interesting, like it commented.
All right. So, Mr. Ndlovu, maybe another question that I would ask is, what encouragement or what words would you say to people maybe taking care of someone who has TB, or maybe someone who just discovered that they actually have TB?
Okay, thank you very much. I think first and foremost, people should know that TB is preventable. TB is curable. So people shouldn't be afraid to go and get screened and tested for TB, because as a country, we have the facilities for testing for TB. We also have the medicines for someone to be treated. And then for those who are living with someone who has TB, they really need to support that person as they are going through the treatment. Our patients need to be supported in taking their medication. This can take up to 6 months of treatment. So there is stigma, there are a lot of things that will be happening. So it will be very important for someone to be assisted as they go through this journey of their treatment. And like I said earlier on, TB is curable. Someone, if they take their medication as prescribed, they'll get better.
All right. Thank you so much. This has been an edition of Health Matters, and we were focusing on TB, the statistics, the cure, the treatments, and the recently hosted conference that focused on TB. And with me in the studio was Mr. Ndlovu, a community TB care officer with the Ministry of Health and Child Care. And thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Ndlovu.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for having. Yes. We hope you join us again next year and tell us more on statistics. And we hope that we would have made even more progress and even getting to the 90%+ to show that there is a lot of progress in treatments within Zimbabwe. My name is Sitenin Lea. Join us again next week, and it's a good night.